Everyone, buckle up because we're about to go on a wild ride today, a deep dive into the world of retro gaming and, well, maybe not so retro gaming.
Yeah, this one is a trip. It's got it all. Big dreams, bigger promises, and a whole lot of head-scratching decisions.
You got it. We're talking about the Retro VGS, a console that, well, it was supposed to revolutionize retro gaming, bring back cartridges in the age of digital downloads. Imagine, just picture this. Instead of just clicking download, you've got a brand new cartridge, right? You're popping it into a console, maybe even blowing on it for good measure. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
That was the dream, at least, the dream that Mike Kennedy was selling.
And for a lot of people, that dream, it struck a chord. I mean, think about it. There's something about those old cartridges, the weight of them, that satisfying click when they go in. It's almost like a little ritual. It's tangible, right? You own a physical thing, not just some files on a hard drive. So where did it all go wrong? Well, our source this time is Smoke and Mirrors, The Rise and Fall of a Serial Antipreneur by Mike James.
Oh, I've heard of this one.
Yeah. And specifically, Chapter 9, Cool Without a Fan. We are going deep on this one because honestly, this chapter, it reads like a tech thriller. You've got drama, intrigue, and a whole lot of money on the line.
And at the center of it all, you've got Mike Kennedy. The guy is fascinating, brilliant in a way, but maybe, just maybe, a little too good at believing his own hype.
Okay, so let's set the stage. It's the early 2010s. Indie games, they're blowing up online. But Mike Kennedy, he's not just thinking about digital downloads. No, he sees a different path.
Right, a path paved with cartridges.
Exactly. And he's got this whole argument about it, right? Cartridges, they're tangible, they're collectible. You hold them in your hand, they're not some digital file that disappears if your hard drive crashes.
And there's that nostalgia factor, right? He even used the Atari as an example. You can still find those old cartridges, plug them in, and boom, you're right back in your childhood living room.
Exactly. And he really tapped into that yearning for a simpler time in gaming when things were physical. And get this, he saw what was happening with the indie game scene, saw it exploding at E3 and all these events, and he thought, why not cartridges for these new games too?
Especially if, you know, if the Retro VGS could also play those classic games.
Bingo. You're picking up what he's putting down. He even planned to include these add-on connectors for old-school Atari, Nintendo, Sega cartridges. Imagine your entire retro collection all playable on one console.
Ambitious, right. Very ambitious. But this is also where those reality check alarm bells, they start to go off, at least for some people. Because remember, this is also the time when digital downloads, they're becoming the norm. Games are cheaper, they're more accessible. Cartridges, with all the manufacturing costs, they start to feel like, well, a relic of the past.
Yeah, and that's the question, right? Was Kennedy being naive about the costs, or was this like a calculated risk, betting that nostalgia would outweigh practicality?
It's a tough one. And the book doesn't really give you a straight answer, but it definitely makes you think.
Oh, it makes you think, especially when you start to look at the team that Kennedy puts together, because you've got this classic clash of visionaries and pragmatists all trying to build the same console.
Yeah, it's a recipe for, well, let's just say some creative differences.
So in this corner, you've got John Carlson, the hardware engineer. This guy, he cut his teeth reverse engineering the PlayStation 1. We're talking serious skills.
Right. Carlson is all about elegant solutions, efficient design. He's the guy you want if you need a console that's actually affordable and reliable.
And in the other corner, we've got Steve Wada, the software whiz. And Wada, he's obsessed with using an FPGA chip for the Retro VGS.
Okay, for those of you who aren't familiar with the wonderful world of FPGAs, it's like imagine a chameleon of chips. You can program them to basically become any other kind of processor. Super versatile.
But also, like chameleons, they can be a little pricey.
Exactly. And Carlson, our voice of reason here, he knew this FPGA was going to blow their budget. He estimated they could make the Retro VGS for around $150 without it.
Sounds reasonable, right?
Totally. But get this. While this is happening, Kennedy's out there publicly claiming a $150 price point. And not just that, he's saying that doesn't even include profit. We're talking no margin for manufacturing and no marketing budget. Nothing.
Whoa, hold on. So he's basically saying they're making this console at cost, which, come on, that's almost impossible.
It is. And it just raises these red flags. Was Kennedy intentionally misleading people, or was he so caught up in his vision that he just couldn't or wouldn't see the financial realities?
And that, my friends, is where things get really interesting. Okay, so we've got a console that might be pushing the limits of affordability, maybe, and a team that's not exactly on the same page.
And don't forget, This is all happening in the Wild West of early crowdfunding. Platforms like Indiegogo, they were still kind of new. And a lot of people, they didn't really grasp the risks.
It was the era of like, hey, this sounds cool. Here's my money and make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. And Kennedy, he was a master at making things sound cool. But when that Indiegogo campaign actually launched in September 2015, well, let's just say even some of the diehards saw some red flags.
And red flag number one, it was that funding goal. They weren't asking for a little seed money, oh no. They wanted $1.95 million.
You can practically hear the internet groaning. Wait, they want how much for this thing?
It was a bold move. I mean, some might even say reckless, especially with all the questions already swirling around the project.
And then there were the deleted comments.
Ooh, yeah. Not a good look.
People were asking legitimate questions, pointing out potential problems in those comments. Poof. Gone.
Yeah, not exactly the best way to build trust with your backers.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was the retro VGS lab video.
Oh, man, that video. Talk about a letdown. This was supposed to be the big reveal, right? Actual footage of a working prototype.
And instead, it's like they filmed it in someone's basement. Seriously, it looked like a bunch of circuit boards just scattered across a kitchen table.
I've seen more convincing science projects.
And it gets better or worse, depending on how you look at it. Remember that interview Kennedy did with, what was that guy's name? Gamester 81.
Oh, yeah, that was rough.
It's almost painful to watch. Kennedy comes across as, I don't know, flustered, unprepared. He's rambling, contradicting himself. It just confirmed everyone's suspicions that maybe, just maybe, this retro VGS wasn't quite as ready for production as they were claiming.
And as if that wasn't bad enough, you've got the interview with Retro Gaming Magazine. The whole team is there, and they're practically contradicting each other on camera.
It was like watching a car crash in slow motion. They're arguing about the FPGA, about bug testing, about basic things that a team launching a $1 million console should have figured out ages ago.
And that, my friends, is when the cracks start to become full-blown canyons. John Carlson, our hardware hero, the voice of reason in all this, he decides he's had enough. He resigns.
Which, let's be honest, probably a smart move on his part. But it was a major turning point because Carlson, he was the one trying to keep things grounded, trying to rein in some of the, let's say, more ambitious ideas. And with him gone, the whole thing just implodes.
The campaign completely craters. And how does Mike Kennedy react? Does he maybe, I don't know, take responsibility, offer a genuine apology for, you know, misleading all these backers?
Oh, you know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Mike Kennedy's blame shifting goes into overdrive.
Yeah.
You learn a few more things about him that really make you question what was really going on here.
All right, so picture this. The retro VGS is basically a pile of broken promises. The Indiegogo campaign has gone up in smoke. And John Carlson, our hardware hero, he's decided to, you know, peace out before things get even worse.
And they do get worse. Because the fallout from all of this, it really starts to paint a picture of Mike Kennedy. And it makes you wonder, was this ever really about the console or was something else going on?
Yeah, this is where things get a little shady. So remember how Kennedy kept saying that the retro VGS was going to be part of GameGavel, that company he owned with Mike James, our source for all of this?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, get this. 11 days before the Indiegogo campaign even launched, Kennedy goes and creates this whole new company, Retro Entertainment Technology, Inc. And guess what he does?
Let me guess. He shifts everything over to that company.
Bingo. He transfers all the retro VGS assets, including those Atari Jaguar molds he was so proud of, all moved over to this new company, a company that he solely controls.
Okay, so he basically cuts out his partners, the company that he'd promised would benefit from the retro VGS, and he moves everything to this secret company.
Exactly. And when people started asking questions, his explanation was basically, well, it was to protect GameGavel shareholders if the console failed. But come on, that doesn't really hold water.
No, not really. It's like he was already setting up the retro VGS to fail, making sure that he was insulated from the fallout.
Right. And remember that perk he was offering backers, the free one-year subscription to Retro Magazine?
Yeah, seemed like a nice bonus.
Sure, but here's the thing. The console company, they only had money from the crowdfunding campaign at that point. So basically, each backer was paying for their own magazine subscription.
Wow. He was using funds meant for console development to prop up his other business.
It's like he built this whole thing on a foundation of smoke and mirrors, and when Carlson left, it all came crashing down. But instead of, you know, owning up to it, Kennedy goes into damage control mode.
Yeah, The Facebook post.
Oh, yeah, that post. It was this long, rambling thing where he apologizes, sort of, to Kevin Horton, the FPGA expert that he'd basically driven away. And he apologizes to some media outlets for, you know, daring to accurately report on the dumpster fire that was this whole campaign.
But even in his apology, he's not really taking responsibility.
Not really. He blames Carlson for that disastrous prototype video. He downplays how important the FPGA actually was. And he keeps name-dropping developers who weren't even involved in the project anymore.
It's classic Kennedy. He's the victim in his own story. Surrounded by incompetence, betrayed by his partners.
It's almost like he can't or won't consider the possibility that maybe, just maybe, he was the problem all along.
So the Indiegogo campaign limps across the finish line, right?
Right.
Raising a measly $81,000 of its $1.95 million goal. That's not good.
Not even close.
But the damage is done. The trust is gone. People are feeling burned. And the retro gaming community is left wondering, what if?
Yeah, what if? And here's the thing that really gets me. After this whole debacle, after the retro VGS crashed and burned, Kennedy, he just moved on to his next venture. He always seemed to have some new big idea, always spinning these tales of what could have been.
Makes you think, did he believe his own hype? Or was it all just one big con?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And I think it's what makes this story so fascinating. Because it's not just about a failed console. It's about ambition, delusion, and the price of chasing a dream that maybe, just maybe, was flawed from the start. And it makes you think, how well do we really know the people we trust with our money, our time, our hopes? That's something to chew on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep it real, keep it retro, and keep asking questions.